Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, and welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're here, where we can provide hope and help in life's hardest places. Now, life's hardest places, they're not in the Sahara Desert. It's right here in your home, right in your heart. That's what we're here for. When I say we, I'm talking about Dr. Jill Hubbard is here. Hi, Jill.
Hey, Steve. Good to be here.
Yeah, and Chris Williams is right there with us.
Yes.
Really glad you guys are here.
Great to be with you guys today.
On the weekend, this Saturday, we're doing our first Fearless Parenting Workshop. It's online. You could join us for that. Let me tell you why we did it. Here's what someone said. We were talking about kids, preparing them for teens, and this person said, all of this is much needed and welcome to hear. So glad to hear it and practice it. I didn't have great parenting examples. So people describing in detail what right and healthy looks like in real life examples is something that I deeply crave. And I tell you, I think it's just going to be a great Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what it eliminates: reactive parenting. A lot of people parenting the exact opposite the way they were because they think it was horrible, or they're trying to reproduce the way they were parenting. And what we need to do is respond to the child. Parent the way this child needs. As many of you know, you could ground one child for a year and it wouldn't impact anything. The other child, you just look at them without smiling, and they will never, ever do it again. They're crying. They're full of shame. So we have to raise kids not based on philosophy or reaction to our child rearing.
Well, and Steve, technology is having such a profound impact, and we really have to parent in response and guidance through our technological age. In our practice, the amount of teenagers that we get that are having struggles directly related to social media, directly related to their screen time, directly related to how they're being impacted.
So you mean parenting to the times as they are now, not how we were raised, right? Or how the times used to be.
And we need help because this is overwhelming for everybody. And this workshop will help us navigate those really rough waters.
Well, and it doesn't matter how old your child is. I think the principles can be applied at any age because is it ever too late to stop being reactive,
not at all, as a parent?
Yeah. So somebody may be talking about a younger child and you have an older one and you're like, oh, shoot, I did it wrong. Well, no, now start doing it right. And I think Mylan is the best example of that, right? Because midstream in parenting his four kids, he shifted gears.
Right. And the other thing, it's really obvious that if we don't start early, we're starting too late. If you think you're going to wait till your child is 12 to get them written, no.
Yeah.
In fact, if you wait till they're 10, you need to start at 7 and 8, really, in the specific stuff. And of course, 1 through 6, you're bonding, you're downloading love, eye-to-eye contact. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to talk about all of this, and you'll get to talk about your own individual situation. I mean, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be great. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want to be on the program, like Miriam and Bob do, who are lined up here, 1-800-229-3000. That is the phone number. Now, there are a lot of things going on in this world. There are a lot of reasons that you could be anxious, a little insecure. But here's something that is true. It's going to be okay. If you're a believer, it's going to be okay. Even when it's not okay, it turns out okay. God uses the crummy stuff to bring on the good stuff. And sometimes that's eternal good stuff. We'll take a break. Come right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. You can find out about fearless parenting at newlife.com. There's a thing right there. If you want to join us on the program, here's the number, 1-800-229-3000. And let's go to Miriam, Santa Rosa, California, KFAX. Hi, Miriam. How are you today? How could we help?
Well, thank you for taking my call. Yes. My question is, I'm confused and I need some clarification. I need a confirmation that I'm going to do the right thing, and this is, I'll bring it up in a sec. And then if I get that confirmation, how the heck I go about doing it, because I'm so scared. Okay. The situation is I've been in a girl for some study group, support group, for 9 years. We did not know each other when we came into that. We pulled names out of a hat. It was a Bible-based 12-step work at that time, and it was fine. And one of the gals had said, you've got to commit to me, otherwise I'll say nothing in this group. In other words, that we didn't walk out.
Yeah.
So 9 years later, we're still together. But it's gotten very painful for me. And we've been doing healing as a choice for about 2 years, a little over 2 years. And it's a great study. But what's happening in the course of it is I feel like I'm being sort of kicked out. I don't think it's happening on purpose, but I'm getting my inventory taken, and it's become unsafe. I feel unsafe in the group now.
Oh, that's not good.
Right. I talked to some women, and they said, well, why are you staying? You need to leave. And I said, well, they said, why aren't you leaving? I said, well, I gave my word, and I did. Back at the beginning, I gave my word, and that's you know, I don't know what to do. So when I'm calling,
okay.
I'm asking for confirmation I'm doing the right thing.
All right, let me ask you a quick thing before we, you know, see what you're doing. Can you give us an example of how they're taking your inventory, as you said? Can you give us a specific there?
Okay. So when we were in the chapter on the weaknesses, all three of them said I take things too personally, which is on my mind now about this whole thing. But it comes up not in a way that is, it's like I'm being unclothed and never redressed again.
Okay.
I feel like I'm naked with them.
Now, is that the way the group is structured, that you give each other advice or feedback or negative stuff?
Well, one of the things, and I think I don't recommend it in the future if I ever get in the group, but we, on the strengths and weaknesses that we worked on in Chapter 3, I think it was Chapter 3, we used each other as part of those 1 in 5 people, and it's come back to be super painful for me. I kind of get thrown in my face sometimes. On the thing with in Chapter 5, I was asking for help. It was the RISE acronym that was used there.
Mm-hmm. And that's right.
That on this one particular issue, about increasing my assertiveness in a way that draws people to me rather than repels them. I said I really want to work on that. I said, but I will need your help. And man, in particular is on.
Okay, so what are you planning on doing that you want the confirmation that it's a good thing to do?
I feel I need to leave the group because I don't feel safe any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not reason. This has been building and building.
Okay, I want to just throw this out there at you. Okay. You go to the group next time and you say, Okay, I have been so troubled that I actually called a radio program with counselors to ask them what I should do. And their advice was, I need to tell you what I'm experiencing. It feels like, and I know that one of the things you think is I take things too personally. I was told by one of them, maybe I feel things more deeply than other people, and that's what you call taking things more personally. But it was so hard when I said I need help. It was so hard when all of a sudden this flood of what I felt was criticism or just negative stuff came at me. I was tempted to leave the group. And I'm not going to do that until I share with you how I'm feeling. And that's what I wanted to share and see what their response is. That's one approach. Jill, you
have a
different approach?
Well, yeah, I really like that approach, Steve. Miriam, you've 9 years is a huge commitment, and there's mm-hmm. just four of you, right? Groups go through different phases, right? Sometimes they're closer, sometimes they're farther apart. It's just, and they take on a personality, right? And people take on different roles. And so at times, it just like in any relationship, things cannot feel so good. If you act out how you're feeling, and I don't mean in a negative way, but if you act out and just show them you don't feel safe by leaving without talking to them about it first, I don't think it'll go well for you. Mm-hmm. I think that they will make you bad because it will feel like a rejection of all of them. And they won't understand, like it won't endear them to how sensitive you have been feeling. I think it. Either way, you're not feeling safe, so you really have nothing to lose by doing what Steve has suggested and trying to appeal to them that for you, this group has become unsafe, and yet you've invested all this time, and I'm assuming you care about these individuals, and you're wondering if there's a way to shift things, or has the group run its course?
Mm-hmm.
And is it time for you to do, at least you, to do something different? But to bring it into relationship, mm-hmm. not just consult with others, right? And it is the scariest thing to talk about your relationship with someone, you know, in the present. So go ahead.
Can you repeat, just kind of miss, I know it was significant. Can you just kind of restate that, what you just were saying, please?
All of it?
well, to
just sorry.
Okay.
Yes, to
relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Miriam, to simplify it, because this, first off, great job, you guys, getting a group together, mm-hmm. working on your stuff, building this relationship. These things are difficult, and they go through seasons, just mm-hmm. like any relationship. But what Jill was encouraging you with, and is similar to Steve, is make sure that in your assertion you're clear on how you're experiencing the group before you make a decision to stay or go. And that's and so my affirmation or confirmation for you is the clarity of how you're experiencing the group and letting them know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Jill said, that's scary. That's hugely
risky. It's
really
scary. But that's what I was saying. You bring it into relationship mm-hmm. with the people you're having the issues with, because that will be a huge growth step for you. And it's about being able to be and tolerate intimacy mm-hmm. that doesn't always feel mm-hmm. good. Versus you can talk to a lot of people and share your situation. Everybody will affirm you. Leave the group. They're horrible. But they're just identifying with your pain. And I think mm-hmm. you've been in this long enough. I think you owe it to yourself and to the group to bring it into the group.
Mm-hmm.
One other question. Is there one person in the group that you're closer to than others?
We've really tried to, I would say, there's one I'm more comfortable with, but I don't think I'm closer. I think we've, at least in my mind, we've it's just we're a foursome, and we really function as a foursome. Mm-hmm.
And have you not shared this with anybody, your feelings? Have you not shared it with anyone?
None of them know this. Well, actually, I take that back. When some stuff came up, I actually did go to them as a group because they all had witnessed what I'd experienced, except they all of them saw it differently than I did. I was crushed, absolutely mm-hmm. crushed. So I went back in person with them and explained what went on. And instead of it helping clarify, it just seemed to compound it. It was like, wow, how do I make myself?
Yeah.
How do I make myself known?
So Miriam, this is a huge difference between what's seen on the outside and what's experienced on the inside. So they're observing something, but there's something deeper inside of you going on. Mm-hmm. And so that's what they can't see, the thing that is deeper inside of you that you need to let know. Now, if they don't handle that well, what I would encourage is that because they see it different than you're experiencing it, that's where therapy for you might be a really good option, because a therapist will help you get to that stuff buried deep down that really comes forth in difficult situations.
Well, that's significant because I've put out a call to get some one-on-one. I just thought I would move away
good.
From the group
yeah.
to one-on-one. But
Well, let me just mention this. You may have heard me talk about when a friend told my daughter that some other person had said some unkind things, and my daughter said, well, that's about her. That's not about me. And I just wonder, you know, how much of this is about them and not about you, except you feel that you're really being attacked, criticized, ganged up on kind of thing. But I really wonder about them. If they don't sense, after all this time, that would be hard for you to hear mm-hmm. or care about that, or that no one called you afterward to say, oh, wow, that must have really been a tough time. Then, like Jill says, maybe it is time to move on. But I do think it would be great if you shared with them mm-hmm. how you feel and see what kind of response they have to that.
Yeah, being able to push back a bit, Miriam, mm-hmm. is good for you. And that's how we develop a tougher skin, too.
Right.
Now, is the pushing back in the sharing, is that the push?
Well, pushing back by saying, I disagree, or I see things differently,
okay,
right?
Gotcha.
Like in the moment, instead of being hurt and wounded and going off and licking your wounds, it's in the moment being able to gather yourself enough to say, you know what, I really see it differently. And when you tell me I'm too sensitive or I take things too personally, that really hurts me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. to be able to say to them, I just want to share, like when they said that, wow, you know, here's what I'm feeling right now as you're mm-hmm. all saying this. You're entitled to do that versus just, you know, clam up, not say anything, feel bad and walk out of the group. And so that's something to work on with a counselor. Why didn't mm-hmm. I just say, well, wait a second, that's really hurtful to me. And I'm afraid when I say it's hurtful, you're just going to think I take things too personally. But if we've been doing this and we're really attuned to each other after all this time, you would know that this cannot be easy for me to hear. Well, I hope that's helpful to you. And you've got healing is a choice. Let me, I'd like to send you Take Your Life Back, because there... there's another great study book, but there we talk about being the decider and the defender of your value and the developer of good things. And sometimes being the developer of good things is saying goodbye to some things that aren't serving the purpose of growth. I'll get that to you. Anybody else? Well, be glad to send you a copy for a gift of any amount. Also, we've got Dave Stoop's last book that he ever wrote, Living Strong, Finishing Well. Living Well, Finishing Strong is what I meant. What we really loved was the original title, which was don't die before you're dead. That's what it's all about. And he didn't. Mm-hmm. Telling you, he lived a great life, and he did finish so well and so strong. We'll be back right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Here's the phone number if you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. It's that simple, 1-800-229-3000. You can join us on the air. So here was this call we just had, mm-hmm. Chris, and I know you're...
It was a good one.
Yeah. It was a good call. It really was, and because a lot of people have this, and I think the book you're working on is about this, and it's a good thing.
But well, and Steve, we're always telling everyone to join a group and get connected.
Yes.
But it's not just that simple, right?
It's really not, because when I look at Genesis chapter 2, So as a Christian therapist, I'm really interested in how God created mankind. Mm-hmm. And so when he created human beings to reflect his image, I see two things very clearly. He created them as relational beings, mm-hmm. for deep connection. Then he also created them as creative beings to mm-hmm. make something of their world around them. And all of this leads to the flourishing of creation, including human beings themselves. So my line is this: human beings flourish at the intersection of great relating and great creating. Mm-hmm. Miriam and her friends did a great job of creating a really important group that mm-hmm. served a phenomenal purpose for 9 years so far. However, they got tripped up in being great relators.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's the heart of what we're here about at New Life, is how do we become better relational people that God has created us to be? Now, one of the things that gets in our way all the time is our unresolved, unhealed pain.
Yep.
Because especially early on, it shapes us in such profound ways mm-hmm. that creates fear and anger and reactivity. But one of the things that happens in groups that I see all the time is that, Jill, if you and I are in a group together and you're dealing with the same problem over and over again, mm-hmm. and I ran out of patience for it.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so now, because your issue is bothering me, I'm going to try to fix you.
Yep.
Or I'm going to try to advise you mm-hmm. out of it. And if you don't, then I'm going to resent you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. I've been in groups like that.
And so my issue is that I have not built yet enough resiliency mm-hmm. for when it says that love is patient and love is kind.
Right.
It doesn't sacrifice truth, right? Mm-hmm. I can say, hey, I'm still observing this pattern. What more help do you need? But if I make it offensive, your issue offensive to me, now I've got, knocked off my course as a great relator.
Well, right. And in groups, they become kind of a microcosm of our families.
Yes, absolutely.
We create our family stuff, and the members of the group become players in our kind of psychodrama, right?
Yes, exactly
that
right.
That keeps getting played out with all of our unresolved stuff. So if that's happening for everybody in the group, right? Mm-hmm.
And let me just say this.
Oh, sorry, Steve. Jump in,
group,
Steve.
Well, in a group, just like in individual relationships, the goal is redemptive relationship
yep.
or
yes.
redemptive
mm-hmm.
connection.
Yes, that's good.
And you really have to be aware of yourself being triggered by mm-hmm. something. Not necessarily like a trauma trigger, but something triggers something in you, and you've got this spiel.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someone's spieled it off to you, and all of a sudden you're saying stuff because it pushed a little button, turned on a tape, or whatever. And you're not being compassionate, and you're not being redemptive. You're mm-hmm. just lecturing, and you don't care what the result is. It's all about you, not the other person. And when it's not about me and it's about the other person, then there's a greater chance to be redemptive and less chance that someone like her is going to say, I think I have to leave this. This is unhealthy for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when we're in places like this, whether it be a group or a church or a family, it's that sometimes it gets, like Miriam was experiencing, very confusing. Mm-hmm. And we don't know where it's our issue or someone else's issue. And that's why we're saying, hey, wise counsel. Mm-hmm. Get different eyes on this thing and trustworthy eyes to help bring clarity to it. Because sometimes we create a group that serves almost like God, you know, like mm-hmm. everything has to be solved in life through this group. But everyone's still a human being and has mm-hmm. their own limitations. And so, again, getting other wise counsel out there when we get to places where we're stuck is really important.
Right. Some people run their church that way.
Yeah,
that it is the definitive place where all guidance must come. They even approve or disapprove of who dates whom and who marries whom and all that stuff that is all about control and not about the truth that comes out of Scripture. We need truth, but not misinterpreted truth, not truth with an agenda, not truth based on the moral failure of the person that said the truth. We just need true truth from God, and that comes from God's Word. We ought to spend a little time in it. All right, well, I want to, before we go to the break, by the way, phone number, 1-800-229-3000. I just hope and pray that if you know somebody that, and you don't know what to say to them, you don't know how to help them, whatever they're going through, you could just say, you know, why don't you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE? Or you could say, why don't you call the radio program, 949, whatever it is. So you just have them call it. 1-800-229-3000 is the number, 1-800-229-3000. And they call it, and we'll talk to them. Or you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we've got people on the phones that can talk with them. That's what I want to see happen. Don't waste a resource here when somebody's struggling and you don't really know what to say. We know what to say. The people that work with us know what to say. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come right back. Got a couple of people on the phone, and we're really glad we'll talk with them. 1-800-229-3000.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life member thank you gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life grocery tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Let's talk with Mary, Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 131 at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. Hi there. How are you?
Hi, I am good. I'm on the road to see my son, so things are good.
Good, good. Well, how can we help today? What's going on?
Well, I've got a friend, and we've been friends for quite some time. We have different political views, and she was never political until maybe halfway into Donald Trump's presidency. And we differ. You know, and she puts my beliefs down, and you know, everything that I believe in is wrong, and she spells off how hers are right, and I'm listening to the wrong people. And every time we're together, you know, politics comes up, and I told her one time in the car, because I felt like I was being held hostage, and I told her, I said, Diana, I shouldn't have said that name. Anyway,
yeah.
I said, sometimes I just want to say, stop, stop, stop. And she looked at me, and she was offended, and she said, well, maybe it's just better if we don't talk about it at all. And I said, that would be perfect. But it's gotten back to the same thing. Now, she's talking about, you know, the Democrats, all of them are evil, and she talks about our governor, and, you know, none of us are perfect, and we all can...
Okay, well, I think you're about to get into politics there. But, hey, so what's the question for us? What to do? What to say?
I'm not sure how to deal with this, because one time she said, if you believe like they do, then you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And then last night, she pretty much said my daughter-in-law was. And I should have got up and left... or called her on it, and I didn't. And today I feel really guilty because I did not defend my daughter, who is an educator, and she has been she's been so good with kids.
Okay, so Mary, we're gonna give you some great advice here. Okay, so this is a painful. I'm so glad you called in, because this is a painful reality for so many people. It's all over the place, and we've become so politicized, and almost where we cease to see ourselves and other people as human beings. So. Mm-hmm. I think it's very, very appropriate and very essential here to set very clear boundaries that, hey, we may see things differently, we may view things differently, but I will not stand for character attacking, for slandering another person, myself or others. And I need to be aware of that myself with other people that have different views, but I won't accept that as healthy to the relationship, because it's not. And so in what you want to be able to do, and I think this is really important, Mary, is not get into the politics.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with the character.
And, well, and here's a question. I just want to bring this up. When we differ on our views politically, okay, someone could be stupid. Someone could be misinformed. Someone could misunderstand the way things work, and you might understand them in a different way. Someone might be following a family tradition, like everybody in the family forever has been Democrat or Republican. There are so many other options than people who don't agree with me are stupid. And I think it's really, really... a sign, it's a diagnostic of her lack of character to jump to the fact that if you don't believe her way, you're stupid. I know a lot of really smart people who differ politically. Neither of them are stupid. One of them has to be confused about which is the best way, because there has to be a best, but there can also be both. Different times are good, whatever. So I just hate that she went to stupid when there were a lot of other options she could have gone to, and she sure didn't care about your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be spending a tremendous amount of my future time with her.
Well, except, Mary, I would really affirm the relationship and how much, because this is a long-standing friend, right? Long before she ever became political. I would really affirm that relationship and how much she means to you and all that you all have, you know, done together as friends over the years, and that you understand this is a heated time that is really polarizing people. And the thing that, you know, that Satan wants to do more than anything is to divide us, right? Mm. And how sad that would make you to be divided from her over something that really is, it's important, but it's not important in terms of relationship, right? Because it's people over principles so often, right? And that you value her above and beyond your differing opinions. And is there room in your relationship for you guys to just agree to disagree and have differences of opinions? Because so often... the differences of opinions are about the angles in which someone looks at something, right? Where the emphasis is on which syllable. And so we may be talking about the same thing, but coming at it from a completely different point of view and value system.
Yes.
And so that it's not worth it to you to lose a friend over political views.
You know who agrees with you, Jill?
Who?
Leonardo da Vinci.
Okay.
He said that the reason he was a great painter is that he knew how to see things from different perspectives, no matter where he was standing. And he had a very big brain. And so I really do think that a very wise person could say, well, no wonder this person thinks this way or sees things this way.
Right.
Look at where they came from, or look at what they were exposed to. Look at all of that. So Jill's saying, hang in there with her, but the thing is, you really have to ask her I would ask her to reconsider her conclusion about you, because
the character attacks are not
she says,
okay.
You're an idiot.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, and really in striving, and I'm trying to work on this, striving more to listen more and understand, like you were saying, Steve, where someone is coming from instead of jumping in with my opinion.
Yes, yeah.
All right. Speaking of opinion and jumping in, Larry Sonnenberg is right there. And
ready
Larry,
to jump.
Jump in with your opinion about people supporting New Life.
Well, if they don't, they're idiots. How's that?
There you go. All right. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, no. I just want to recommend, and plea that New Life could use your support financially.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways you can do it. Club New Life is a great way. Just a regular donation is a great way. Stock is a great way. There's all kinds of things. But I wanted to have a testimony, and I asked Chris to read it today. That will help you understand just why we continue to seek support, because the life change that happens is, every one of them is amazing.
Absolutely. This is from a listener. He says, I've learned New Life is available daily. I had listened to New Life sporadically over the years, but this last year it came alive for me. I've been clean and sober for almost 34 years, starting at 24 years old. My drug and alcohol abuse were only used to cover up feelings of sexual abuse from Mom and Dad's divorce as well, and when I was 4 years old, I ended up having four stepdads, an alcoholic mother, and a distant father who distanced himself to start another family. I've been sexually sober and free of the bondage of pornography thanks to Every Man's Battle for about 10 years. I needed deeper healing than I had experienced, and I have found New Life a must in addition to recovery groups, church, and counseling. I'm a Club New Life member because I want others to experience the miracle also.
Doesn't get better than that.
No,
somebody experienced in so many levels, radio, workshops, counseling, everything.
Yeah.
And that's what we can offer help, folks. And if you have experienced that kind of hope, tell somebody else. Tell them about our program and ask them to listen. We need to get the word out more than we do.
We sure do. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you want to help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Send you a copy of Dr. Dave Stoop's latest book. It's really powerful. Gift of Any Amount, Living Strong, Finishing Well. That's the name. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We're going to do another program after this. 1-800-229-3000 is the number for that. But we'll be back for a final segment here. And more of our calls. We will be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Marie has called us at 1-800-229-3000. And we're going to talk with her right now, all the way from Boston. She listens on WEZE. Hi, Marie. How are you?
Hi. Okay. How are you?
Doing all right. Yes. How can we help today?
Good. Oh, yes. I want to know, how do I help my brother?
has a mental illness and is not taking medication, and also has a drug addiction, and he's been in the hospital about 6 times in the last 5 months or so. And I want to help him, but I don't want to. And some people are telling me that, you know, I should put up with certain things that he's doing.
So does he live with you?
I don't know how to help him.
Does he live with you?
No. He was home. No. He was homeless and I helped him get housing.
Uh-huh.
He was homeless for about 8 to 10 years. And he's in his 60s. And it's really sad. I feel for him. I want him to be well and have a good life.
Yeah. Have you...
Become a Christian.
Have you ever suggested any kind of treatment program that he would go to?
Yes. The hospital has also, but he hasn't. He went to one place for a very short time for alcohol, maybe 3 days. But then when he gets out, he doesn't follow up. He won't follow up with anything after he gets out. And he's been in the hospital for the alcohol, and he won't follow up once he gets out. So he gets sober, and he goes back in.
And is that, Marie, because of his mental illness?
I think it is. I think it is, and I don't know how to convince them or encourage him to get medication. There is...
Well, he's self-medicating.
There's an agency that's trying to help him, but they can't give him medication, so he stops drinking.
Right.
So it's kind of a dilemma.
It's a dilemma
for me. And
situations like this are very difficult. And bless you for wanting to help him. And it's hard to determine how much of this is due to his mental illness that keeps him from getting the help. Right.
Right.
As well as then he self medicates.
Right.
Versus right. He just is willful.
That's my dilemma right there.
Right, right. And so I think it's always examining that question, right? And doing for someone what they cannot do for themselves, right? But letting them suffer some of the consequences of the things that they actually do need to do for themselves. And that's really hard. And you have to also remember not to put your standards for living onto him, because his standards have really, they're very low, right? He hasn't minded being homeless for 8 to 10 years, obviously.
Right?
So things being a little bit better for him is still going to be probably unacceptable to you. But so looking at his life and then the ways in which you could intervene in areas where he can't do that for himself, where he needs an advocate.
Yeah, Marie.
Well, I mean, I have helped him get cleaning services and laundry services and things like that.
So he's
set up as far as that's concerned. He did have Meals on Wheels, but he didn't want it. So he canceled that.
Chris, you had a thought?
Marie, there's this thing called a principle in the 12 steps we call powerlessness, right? So right now, unfortunately, your brother is powerless against his own illness and his own struggles with addiction. And it's kind of determining, it's making all the decisions for him. So if he's powerless against it, how much more powerless are you against it? And I don't want to say helpless. We're not helpless against it, but we just understand that our limitations are profound when it comes to being able to help him out. One, the biggest limitation is his ability to follow through. So in that, these are very, very hard, difficult situations. I want you to be able to gain support for yourself. There is an organization called National Alliance of Mental Illness called NAMI, N-A-M-I. They have tremendous family support groups for those who for family members who have a member struggling with severe mental illness. And you can get a lot of good feedback and mostly just solidarity and understanding through that. But as Jill was referring to, making sure that you're taking care of yourself well as I think you're doing a great job in being able to, what I call, pick your spots. Being able to pick, like, hey, I want to help my brother here, and I want to help him there. I can't really force him, unfortunately, right now, to get the help that he needs and to follow through with that. But as I'm helping him, am I also making sure that I myself am taking care of well?
Yeah, Al-Anon is a great place for you to go to get some additional insight on things. I'll send you a Life Recovery Bible and the workbook. There are several people I have met personally who said, went through several treatment programs. When I got a Life Recovery Bible, it made all the difference in the world. Now, as we're listening to this, we're hearing a very glaring example of someone who hasn't learned to or become willing to comply. Mm-hmm. Compliance is a form of surrender. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have this big emotional, spiritual experience to surrender. You could decide, okay, it's time to comply. And you can see what has happened when he won't comply with what he's supposed to do outside of treatment, won't comply with taking the medication for the mental illness. Compliance is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And if you are a person who is more into defiance than compliance, then we can help you if you simply would call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have resources to help you with this. So call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Well, it's just such a great example of the need to comply.
And compliance is so important, what you're saying, Steve, mm-hmm. because especially those of us who struggle with addiction and addiction problems, mm-hmm. is that the hardest thing that we have to do is to submit ourselves to healthy groups and processes and helpers that will lead us through the process of healing and sobriety and ultimately restoration. And so, and Steve, you're going to be talking about this in Going Deeper tomorrow, right?
That's right. We're talking all about surrender, the 12 steps, life recovery. It's all right there. And that's going to be at 11 o'clock on the NRB network, Going Deeper. I do it every 5 o'clock Eastern time is actually the time it comes. All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help, or 1-800-NEW-LIFE if we could help you. We do have that parenting seminar. Don't be afraid to join the Fearless Parenting Seminar, Preparing for the Teen Years. It's online Saturday, mm-hmm. October the 2nd. That's the one
and
coming up.
And even if you're a grandparent, it would be a good seminar for grandparents,
deal.
Too.
Yep. Every Man's Battle is October the 8th, and Intimacy and Marriage, October 15 through 17, Dallas, Texas. We'd love to see you there. You can still register for that. And Restores, November the 12th. So I hope and pray that we could help you in some way going forward. But you have to call us first. Maybe you've listened a long time, you've never picked up that phone, and you have no idea the resources that are available to you or the options that you have mm-hmm. to live the new life. If you call us, we'll help you with that. It is 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEWLIFE. By the way, Life Recovery Today is on at 11 Eastern Time, NRB Network. The person that told me it wasn't was wrong. Okay, so we got that down. We're going to do another program after this. If you want to join us on that program, 1-800-229-3000. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Jill. Thanks to all of you who listen, watch, and support. We are very, very grateful for all that you do. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.